General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Right, I'm going to tell you of a snake. A snake and three people who lived on a sugar farm in Natal, just north of Durban. The farm belonged to a certain Jack Fellows, an ex-RFC pilot. He and his wife Jean lived there with their partner Bill Edwards. It had, in fact, belonged to Edwards, but finding himself short of capital, he put the farm up for sale on the condition that he could remain on as a partner. As it happened, this suited Fellows admirably, for he was blinded during the course of his duties with the RFC. His wife had seen the advertisement in one of the English newspapers, and making a snap decision, they'd come to Natal. What more suitable arrangement? Fellows would put up the capital, Edwards would be his eyes. There then, you have the setting for my story tonight, one I've called Just Retribution. On a hot, sultry afternoon in the summer of 1924, that a man came riding along the track that led to the Fellows' farm. The flies buzzed incessantly, and the thick, choking dust kicked from beneath the horse's hooves. The man was Jim Sefton, who had just returned from 2 years spent in Tanganyika. It was on his return to Johannesburg that he'd found the letter, by then over a year old. Sefton's face, turned to a dark mahogany, was set and a little stern. His eyes, vivid blue eyes they were, contrasting strangely with the colour of his skin, were surrounded by a network of little wrinkles. He slid his hand into the pocket of his bush jacket, his fingers curling about the letter. What was it Jack had written?
Dear Jim, I do hope this letter finds you, because we haven't had an answer for the last two we wrote. Things are going fine. We haven't made any profits to talk about, but Edwards knows his stuff and is doing a grand job. He assures me we should have a record crop next year. I wish I had a better picture of the farm, but it's difficult for me to move around, so I must depend on the eyes of Jean and Edwards. We haven't had many visitors, but then we're rather far out. I wish you could see the new farmhouse and the neat white fence Edwards has built around it. All to Jean's plan, of course. You used to be a farmer, and I know you'll agree I have a model farm. Write soon. Your friend, Jack.
Write soon. Your friend, Jack. Funny. I don't get it. Should have made some profits by now. And no visitors. Perhaps he doesn't want them anymore. It's very unlike him. He used to love having people around him. Well, Jack, you're going to have a visitor. And soon.
Oh, let him. Steady on. It's only a broken branch. It's not a snake.
I don't know what's going on. But we'll soon find out.
Come on, get up.
Twenty minutes later, Sefton saw a farm in the distance. He reined his horse into a walk. As he did so, a man stepped from the scrub onto the track. Under his arm, he carried a rifle.
Good morning. I am right for the Fellows' place, aren't I?
Yes, straight as you can go. Are you a doctor by any chance?
I'm afraid not. Why, anybody ill?
Fellows is pretty seedy. I'm Edwards, his partner. I live with him.
Oh, yes. What's the matter with Jack?
Personally, I think he's got a bad dose of champagne fever. High temperature, all the usual symptoms.
I see, I'm sorry. How's Mrs. Fellows?
Jean? Very fit. A little uneasy, naturally, about her husband. You know them, I take it.
Yes, very well indeed. Jack and I flew together in the RFC. I've been meaning to come and see them for ages. I just don't seem to have the time. Sefton's my name, by the way.
Yes, I rather guessed it was. Heard them mention you often.
How are they getting on? You've got a good show here.
Quite. We want the railway, of course, but there's always a catch somewhere. Anyway, you'll see for yourself. The house is on some high ground about a mile and a half ahead. Oh, and look out for snakes. There are a lot of mambas about.
Thanks, I will.
Oh, there is one other thing, Mr. Sefton.
Yes?
Well, I was just thinking. I'm not sure that it's such a good thing for you to see Jack right now.
Really? And what do you think Jack might feel about it?
Well, you know how it is.
No, I'm afraid I don't know how it is.
Well, actually, to be frank...
I'd appreciate that.
It's just that Jack isn't quite himself. That business about losing his sight upset him more than most people realize. It's been a case of rehabilitation. The thing that sets him back mentally is any reference to the war years. Now, if you pitch up there, old boy, there's bound to be a lot of jawing about flying and all that nonsense. The next thing, he'll have a relapse.
Are you trying to tell me Jack's round the bend?
Well, if you want to put it that way...
I'm not putting it anyway. You are. Listen to me, Edwards. I don't think you understand that talking shop to another flying type isn't likely to send him insane. If anything, he'll recall the pleasant side of it. The comradeship, the unselfishness, the laughs we had. If it was at all likely to upset him, do you think I would begin talking about the war? I'm no psychiatrist. At the same time, I'm not exactly a sadistic imbecile. So if you don't mind, I will see Jack, and right now. So long.
Sefton hadn't gone far when something compelled him to look back. Edwards was standing just as he'd left him. But on his face was a look of half fear, half hate. Then, suddenly turning, he disappeared back into the bush. What was wrong? That there was something was obvious. Sefton spurred his horse on. Whatever it was, he'd soon find out. Jumping from his horse, Sefton walked to the front door of the farmhouse. It stood open. Then, for an instant, he hesitated, and turning, stared about him.
You should see the neat white fence Edwards has built around it. All to Jean's plan, of course. You used to be a farmer, and I know you'll agree I have a model farm.
Sefton's jaw hardened. A small muscle in his throat began to twitch. Always a serious sign with Jim Sefton, as many a man had found to his cost. Mr. Bill Edwards would have a lot to answer for, but that could come later.
Hello there. Anybody in? Anyone at home?
Hello? Who's there?
Which room are you in?
Down at the end, on the right. Who is it?
I'll give you three guesses.
Jim Sefton. It is you, isn't it, Jim?
You're dead right, Jack.
But this is wonderful. Well, I'm sorry you find me in bed. I've got a touch of this confounded fever.
Yes, I knew that.
You knew?
I met your manager bloke along the track.
Oh, Edwards, yes. Never stops working, that chap. He and Jean have done a wonderful job. This is what I've always wanted. A model farm.
And you've got it, Jack. You should be a proud man.
Oh, anyway, that's enough of the backslapping. You know, I've been saving a bottle for this occasion. We'll wait till Jean gets back and then we'll celebrate.
Where is she?
Oh, she'll be back soon. She's gone over to the next door farm to get some eggs. Our hens seem to have gone on strike. Now, pull that chair over there to the bed and tell me all about yourself.
Well, there's not exactly really a lot to tell. I've been away for a couple of years in Tanganyika, shooting, doing safari work. I only got your letter 3 weeks ago when I got back to Joburg.
Oh, I envy you. Must be a grand life.
It has its moments.
Well, the only shooting ever done around here is for mambas. As a matter of fact, Edward shot a huge one this morning. He brought it in for me to see, or at least to feel. Revolting, I think.
Yes, they can be unpleasant, fellas. Anyway, let's talk about something else. Oh, by the way, do you mind if I smoke? What about you?
Well, I won't, thanks, but you carry on.
Oh, I must be getting senile. I've gone and thrown the matches all over the floor, under the bed, everywhere. Nothing for it. I just have to pick them up.
Oh, don't bother. I've got some more here.
No, that's all right.
What's the matter, Jim?
It's nothing.
It's all right. What?
Just jammed a splinter of wood through my hand. I'm sorry I knocked the chair over.
That's all right. There's some plaster in the cupboard if you want it.
No, it's all right, thanks. Well, now I think I'd better pick the matches up.
Oh, heavens, they're all over the place.
Oh, leave them. The girl can pick them up later.
I think I'll have that drink you offered me.
Well, of course, Jim. You go straight through the sitting room to the dining room. See the drink cabinet in the corner. You help yourself. You find water in the kitchen.
Thanks. What about you?
No, I'll save mine for later.
All right, I won't be long.
It was a merciful thing that Jack Fellows couldn't see Sefton's face at that moment. Its normal sunburnt exterior had gone deathly pale. Again, that muscle was twitching in his throat. He stared for an instant at the man in the bed, then turning, hurried into the passage. After a few paces, he stopped and looked down at the object trailing from his hand. Gunmetal grey it was, and even in death, its little shiny button eyes seemed to emanate evil. It was an 8-foot mamba. And Edwards had killed a mamba only that morning. The snake had been put there to await the arrival of its avenging mate. Jim Sefton's hand, normally as steady as a rock, trembled slightly as he poured himself a stiff whiskey. The colour had returned to his face, but his vivid blue eyes were hard and cold as steel. After fetching some water from the kitchen, he returned to the dining room. He must think. He needed time to think. At that moment, he heard a horse approaching. This must be Jean coming back. Sefton downed his drink in one gulp. How he wished this first meeting with her after all these years could be different. For an instant, he felt like running away, getting out anywhere. And then he remembered Jack's letter. No, it would do no good shirking the matter. The horse stopped outside. Sefton walked to the window and turned to face the door.
Are you all right, Jack? Oh, whose horse is that?
I'm fine, thanks, Jean. I say, you'll find a surprise in the dining room.
A surprise? All right, just let me put these eggs down. Jim! Oh, Jim, how wonderful to see you. Oh, Jim.
Hello, Jean.
Well, you don't seem very pleased to see me. What's the matter, Jim?
I'm going to close the door, if you don't mind. I wouldn't like Jack to hear what I have to say.
Jim, what's the matter? It's so good to see you again.
Is it, Jim?
What do you mean?
I haven't seen you for so long. Oh, I'd cut my right arm off rather than say what I have to. But you know perfectly well what I mean. This farm, this model farm, it's rotten, you hear me? It's rotten right through.
What did you say?
I said the farm was rotten right through. Oh, I could forgive you for not knowing you couldn't grow a good crop in this soil, but I can't forgive you for this arid wasteland. You know what Jack wrote to me, do you, Jean? Yes, you must, because he must have dictated the letter to you. Well, I'll refresh your memory. He wrote he had a neat white fence, a model farm. And what has he got? An arid piece of wasteland. A cane's rotten. Riding through it was like travelling through a witch's wood. I still can't believe it. Of Edwards, yes, but not of you. What's happened to you, Jean? Did you get tired of looking after a blind man?
Stop it! Stop it!
Did you find that fine, handsome, phony squire more attractive than the man in there? Did you find him more noble than Jack? Was he more courageous, cleverer? Did you really fall for a man who steals pennies from a blind man's cup? Well, answer me. Did you?
I won't listen to you, Jim. You can't make me. I won't listen.
Yes, run away, Jean. But you'll find it's too late now. You can't run away from your conscience.
For Sefton, the remainder of that morning and lunch was a mockery. A strain of keeping up a pretense, for keep it up he had to. It was too late to shatter the dream. One thing Edwards hadn't lied about was that Jack was ill. To shatter all his illusions now would only aggravate his illness. But sooner or later he'd want to move around outside, or else he'd become suspicious. Then the keen sense and touch of the blind man would tell him more vividly than any sense of sight that he was living not in a Valhalla, but a rotting jungle. But how? How to create the final illusion? It was Jean who gave him the answer. In the early evening, he'd strolled to the edge of the cane, if it could be called cane. Sitting down on a broken tree trunk, he began to think. To think of some way to help Jack. He didn't hear Jean approach.
Jim. Jim, I just have to speak to you. I know it's too late for explanations, but I was hoping it wasn't too late to recompense in whatever way I can.
Does Edwards agree with this sudden change of heart? It's pretty obvious to anyone what's been going on between you two.
No. No, I haven't spoken to him yet. Oh, Jim, please try to understand. It wasn't something that just happened overnight. It was 2 years. 2 years alone out here. With Jack virtually tied to the house. Robert, I mean, Edwards and I were left pretty much to ourselves. Oh, I can see this is no time for excuses, but please believe me when I say I do sincerely want to undo the harm I've done. Then I'll go.
You'll do nothing of the sort. It's our friend Edwards who will go.
We just can't turn him out.
Jean, I want to ask you something. Are you in love with Edwards?
No. I hate him.
Hate?
Yes, I hate him. You see, I made a fool of myself about a year ago. He's held it over my head ever since.
You mean he's been blackmailing you?
Well, in a way, yes. Oh, to start with, he did work the farm. Then he just let things slide. Whenever he wants capital, Jack gives it to him. He just lives off the fat of the land. What can I do, Jim? I can't tell Jack. It would break his heart.
Yes, you're right there.
What can I do? Help me, Jim. Please help me.
It's not a question of my helping you, but rather of you helping yourself and Jack. I'm sorry now I said what I did this morning, but I wasn't aware of the position then. I am now. I can only thank heaven I arrived in time.
Time? I don't understand.
Jean, I've told you, you can't grow cane here. Not cane that will sell, that is. Edward sold you a pup.
But there must be some small way I can...
Small way? Yes. You can't create a plantation here, but you can a garden.
A garden?
Yes, a small garden. You'll have to bring in new soil, of course. You must understand it won't make any profit. It would be purely decorative for Jack's benefit. But if you gave him a small plot that smelt and felt fragrant and good, you might be able to persuade him the rest was the same. Of course, it would only work for a little while.
I understand.
And then you'll have to break it to him gently. I might be able to persuade him to sell out the plantation. But if you build him a garden, he'll be left with a sense of achievement, if nothing else.
Oh, I appreciate so very much what you're doing, Jim. What about Robert?
Edwards will go. I have a theory, and if that theory is correct, he'll go very much sooner than you imagine.
Not another word would Sefton say, but Jean noticed a hardness in his face that she'd never seen before. At supper that night, she sensed a strange, almost frightening atmosphere, as if something was about to happen. Sefton could not have been more affable, and yet as she watched him, it reminded her of a cat playing with a mouse. The expression of hardness had left him now, but what was going on behind those vivid blue eyes? And Edwards, he seemed nervous. He'd also been drinking. Strange, Jean thought. Of all his faults, drink wasn't one of them. His fingers kept drumming on the table, and every now and again he'd glance towards Jack Fellows' bedroom. Supper over, Jean excused herself, saying that she had some letters to write. As she reached the door, she glanced back at the two men. Yes, the cat playing with a mouse. Waiting. Waiting for something to happen.
Pretty good supper, what?
Excellent. Jean's a very good housekeeper.
Oh, one of the best. Well, shall we move into the lounge?
Yes.
I'll bring the old bottle of scotch. Would you care for one?
No, I won't, thanks. But don't let that stop you. After you.
Well, thanks, old boy. You know, you must have had a most interesting life. I felt such an idiot warning you about snakes. Yeah, I had quite forgotten you were one of these big game fellows.
That's all right.
There we are. That chair all right for you?
Oh, yes, do fine.
You sure you won't have a drink?
Quite sure, thanks.
I shot a mamba this morning. Big chap.
Yes, so Jack told me.
Took it in for him to see. Or I should say, to feel. You know, he's never seen one.
Really?
Tell me, you're a knowledgeable bloke on these sort of things. What chance have you got if you're bitten by a mamba?
It depends where you're bitten. If it's a leg or arm, you can tie a tourniquet. If you're bitten anywhere else, well, it's not so good. 2 drops will kill a normal, healthy man. An 8 or 9 foot mamba can inject as much as 15 drops. If that happens, it's curtains. Anyway, why the morbid interest in snakes?
I don't know.
You two all right?
Yes, fine, thanks, Jean.
I'm just going to see how Jack is.
Hadn't you better be careful, Jean? You know, in case there's a possible risk of infection and all that.
Champagne fever isn't infectious, as far as I know.
Oh, you're probably right. I think I've had a little too much. I think I'd better push off to bed. Good night, old boy. Show around the farm in the morning. Whoopsie.
Good night.
With a candle in his hand, Edwards lurched off to his room, while Sefton still sat motionless. Even after the bedroom door had closed, he never moved. It was justice. Primitive justice. A just retribution.
Jack's asleep. I won't disturb him now. Jim, what is it? What's the matter with Robert? What's the matter?
A mamba! I've been bitten by a mamba! My neck!
Where's the protection for the manganese?
In the corner over here.
Quickly,
will you? It's empty.
It's a mamba bite.
It's empty and it was full this morning. How now?
Well, who emptied it? Who emptied it, Edwards?
Help me, what will you say? Help me!
Gene, what's the matter?
Get him back to bed. I'll see to Edwards.
Somebody tell me what's the matter.
All right, I'm coming, Jack.
You poor devil.
It was Sefton who took charge when it was over, and it was he who went to the window of Edwards's room and shot the snake inside. He stayed on for a fortnight and saw to the start of Jack's garden, and during that time he said very little and she asked no questions. It was only as he was leaving that she could stand it no longer. She came to him as he was sitting astride his horse in the yard.
Jim, there was some mystery that night, wasn't there? What was it?
There's a native superstition, which, like so many things of that sort, is founded on fact. They say that if you kill a snake, its mate will come to find it. Edwards killed a mamba that morning. I killed the mate that night. You see, the dead snake was under Edwards' bed.
But what on earth made him put it there?
I wonder, Jean. I wonder.
Jean kept her promise, and in due course built a little garden for Jack. Unhappily, he was to die of a heart attack brought on by recurring fever. It was on New Year's Eve, 2 years later, that she found him lying by his garden, quite still and very calm, his face crushed against the blossoms, as if his dead eyes now had life, and in his last moment he had seen all.
Join us again next week for another story of the African bushbelt. It might be fact, It Might Be Fiction in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.